So Jeopardy! Champion Ken Jennings, move over. IBM's Watson computer is here.
Who is Victor Fleming?
That is correct. Watson.
Who is John Ford?
Good for 1600.
Who is Mike Nichols?
Good for 12.
That's a piece of a new Nova documentary illustrating Watson, a computer designed over the course of 4 years, costing hundreds of millions of dollars, which is going to be one of the three contestants on Jeopardy! Next week. The machine is designed to decipher English language clues and then search more than a half million books for the answer, all stored in its memory banks and all in under 3 seconds. If successful, scientists think it could have real-world benefits. Joining us this morning from our partner station WGBH in Boston is Michael Bix, director and producer of the new Nova documentary, Smartest Machine on Earth. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us is Rodney Brooks, former director of the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, CSAIL, and an emeritus professor of robotics. Professor, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this documentary airs tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS stations around the country. Michael Bix, why does playing Jeopardy! Demonstrate intelligence in a more interesting way than, say, beating Kasparov in chess?
Well, I mean, chess is a relatively limited problem. I mean, it's just a board of, you know, it's just a board with 64 squares. It's actually pretty easy for a computer to sort of figure out because it can pretty quickly these days sort of analyze every possible move. I mean, Jeopardy, I mean, think about a Jeopardy question, like the Jeopardy question, a politician's rant and a frothy dessert. Can you answer that?
No. No.
And the answer is meringue harangue.
Oh, nice. So it's the broadness.
Okay,
so it's the broadness, Rodney Brooks, of the possibilities and the needing to be able to search a gigantic database that tests this different kind of intelligence.
Yeah, and it's not just one database, and it's not just searching the database. It's trying lots and lots of different methods. I think that meringue harangue is a great example. It had to deal with rhymes in the words besides getting the possible words and then finding the rhymes and knowing that it should do that and putting all those pieces together in real time is something that I think people thought was going to be pretty hard and weren't expecting to happen this quickly.
Basically imitating this guy.
There will be a lot of puns. There will be double meanings. And these are things that computers historically are terrible at.
That's Ken Jennings, who you interviewed, Michael Bix, for this Nova documentary. What does he have that Watson needs to get?
Well, that's, I mean, I think it's sort of what does Watson have that he needs is another way of looking
yeah.
at it.
You think Watson's going to win? Mean,
well, I happen to know, but, but, well, obviously he has real world experience. I mean, all of these questions are based on, I mean, it helps to have obviously been in the world. I mean, you know, Watson doesn't understand anything. I mean, it doesn't understand, for example, initially, that like a flick is a movie. I mean, you know, things that you and I know about the world, when it rains, it gets wet. I mean, all of those things Watson doesn't know. So to program all that in, I mean, is a very, very difficult thing. And that's really the challenge, is to sort of give a computer, I don't know, I mean, the understanding of human experience.
If I could just add here,
sure.
I think what a person has that Watson doesn't have is sometimes Watson doesn't know when its answer is completely ridiculous. It comes up with answers that you're surprised, how the hell did it know that? But other times its answers are, why didn't it know that that was silly? And a person does know that it's silly.
Well, you know, it's this question of knowledge and question answering ability versus actual understanding that makes this documentary so fascinating. Here's Louis von Ahn, who's a professor at Carnegie Mellon from Smartest Machine on the Earth, sounding a little bit like Donald Rumsfeld here.
There's just so much more that we know that we don't know we know. I mean, just we know all kinds of stuff, like you press the up button in the elevator, that means it's going to go up, or milk is white. Water's wet. I mean, it's just stuff that we know that we don't even realize we know. That's one of the things that makes it hard.
Or maybe it doesn't make it hard. Michael Bix, is understanding an important component of intelligence or not?
I mean, of course. I mean, I think that gets to sort of the basic question about this, which is, you know, how intelligent is this machine? Now, on one level, it's very intelligent because it's doing something that if a human did it and did it well, you'd say they were intelligent. On the other hand, for the broader question, which is actually being able to sort of understand what's going on, I mean, Watson doesn't understand anything. And to that extent, it's not intelligent in the least.
Rodney Brooks?
Yeah, and I think that the thing that we need to understand, Watson is a great advance, but it's not a sentient being. You're not going to get confused that it's your friend. It's just a program, if you like. You know, you type in a question or type in an answer and it gives a question. But it's not something that knows that yesterday it did something and tomorrow is going to be another day. It's not a being. It's not as much a being as your dog or your cat.
Okay,
is.
So with that said, Rodney Brooks, if it took four human beings 4 years and hundreds of millions of dollars to make this computer try to simulate human intelligence and understanding, why do we need it? Why can't we just use human intelligence and understanding?
Well, you know, when you use Google, you're using a computer or lots of computers to search the web for you. Now, Amazon has their Mechanical Turk, where when you ask questions, people do answer them. But, you know, it's all a matter of how many people can sit in a room somewhere answering people's web questions, and what are the economics of that?
So Rodney Brooks is a former director of the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, part of the documentary Smartest Machine on Earth, Can a Computer Win Jeopardy? Michael Bix, how much does Watson have to win to basically get a return on its investment?
Well, certainly, I mean, since everybody's giving their winnings to Jeopardy, it's not going to be on Jeopardy. I mean, I think to the point about sort of why does the world need this, I mean, think about all the data in the world. I mean, right now, there's a huge amount of information out there. And the question is, how can you quickly and intelligently sort through it? And a computer that could do that would be, there's a huge market for it. Because if you think about Google, I mean, Google really relies on you or me. In other words, it doesn't answer questions. It just gives you keywords, and then you have to figure out what the answer is.
And it gives us a smaller set to search.
Well, exactly, smaller set to search, but we're the ones that are really answering the question.
Right.
I mean, Google isn't. Now, a computer that can quickly sort through all of the data out there, and there's a huge amount of it. I mean, that's really one of the huge problems these days, is that there's too much information.
And there's going to be more.
There's going to be more, and one that can quickly sort of go through all that information and help people intelligently organize it and give them answers in a way that they can use. I mean, that's something you could see a market
for. All right. Michael Bix is producer of the Nova documentary, Smartest Machine on Earth, Can a Computer Win Jeopardy? Or does it even need all that time to answer the final Jeopardy question? It's on tonight at 10 p.m. on PBS, a production of our partner station WGBH and Nova.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.